For those of you tuning in for the first time, my name is Logan. I'm the assistant director here at our Old Brooklyn campus, and it is a pleasure to be with you this morning. But before we dive into scripture, let's go ahead and pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the gift of your word. We're grateful that we get to study and learn from it. And I pray that today we would go away not merely with an intellectual knowledge, but that we would have the desire, the will to put what we learn into practice. I pray that you would send your spirit and that you would guide our thoughts and recalibrate our thinking. We love you, and it's in your name that we pray. Amen. During the Middle Ages, there was a town on the western side of Italy that began to grow in its importance. It was a port city that bordered one of the local seas, so trade routes would frequent it. And because they wanted people to be able to go to church, they began to build a grand cathedral in the year 1063, and they completed it 30 years later. It was a sight to behold. Beautiful stonework led you into a beautiful sanctuary. Shortly after the cathedral was built, they began to build a baptistry. During that time, it wasn't uncommon to have a separate room in the chapel or a separate building altogether, as in this case, for housing baptisms. And that took about 200 years to complete. And about 20 years after they started building the baptistry, they began to build a third structure, a bell tower. When they wanted to signal that there was an upcoming service or if there was a time of day that they wanted you to pray, they would ring bells to be able to communicate clearly what was going on. In those days, obviously, they didn't have text and email and social media, so they had to figure out ways to let you know what was going on. But shortly after construction started on this bell tower, they realized there was a problem. Because the city was situated near the sea, the ground was pretty soft. And if they dug more than 10 feet down, they would encounter a lot of water. So they decided to dig as far as they could without hitting water, laid the foundation for the structure, and called it good. It worked for the cathedral, it seemed to be working for the baptistry, so obviously it would work for the bell tower as well. However, they didn't account for the fact that a heavy structure in a very condensed radius doesn't mesh so well on soft ground. About 6 years into the project, when they had finished building the second or third of eight stories, the building began to sink down into the ground. But it didn't sink very evenly. The southern side had a little bit more of a divot than the north side, so it was extremely lopsided. Oh yeah, but it gets very better from here. Instead of dealing with the foundation of this tower, they decided to compensate by raising the wall on the southern side so it would match the height of the northern side. Seems like a very genius idea at the time. Building stopped because of some wars and debt that couldn't be paid, so the bell tower sat for a while. And after about 100 years or so, construction resumed because they finally got the finances and the peace for it. But they found that the bell tower had begun to tilt even more. So what did they decide to do? Did they finally go after the foundation? No! They decided to add more height to the southern walls to compensate even more for the lack of height on the northern side. You'd think they would have figured out that there was something else going on that could have fixed it a little more permanently. However, they did continue to build this structure, and almost 200 years after it started, the tower was completed. They put the bells in the top floor, and they used it for its intended purpose for a very long time. But it would take another 600 or 700 years for them to stop the continual lean. In about the 19th and 20th century, Italy reached out for help from the world to help keep this monumental structure standing. The final solution was to remove some 70 tons of dirt from the northern side and to add just under 1,000 tons, 2,000 pounds, of lead weight counterbalances on the north side to keep the southern side from sinking in even more. Today, people have given this tower an affectionate name, the Leaning Tower of Pisa. What was meant to be a mark of legacy nearly turned disastrous because of a failed foundation. And it was only when people began to address the foundation that they were able to keep and correct the lean. We can look at the story and rightly say that it was utter foolishness, first for building the foundation on soft ground, and second for trying to fix the problem of the foundation by not addressing the foundation. But we have to pay attention. Jesus once told a parable about two different foundations that resulted in two very different outcomes. And in this parable, Jesus communicates to us that if we are unwilling to put his ideas into practice, we are just as unwise as people who set buildings on unstable foundations. When we build, we will be unable to endure the weight of life. But if we put into practice what we hear, then we will be like a person who builds on something that's stable, and what we build lasts. Today we're going to be finishing up our study through the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus says this in Matthew 7:24-27. "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." I would like to begin by us thinking about the phrase, "these words of mine," because it appears twice. Both the wise builder and the foolish builder hear these words of mine, the words of Christ. For the sake of time, we're going to narrow our focus specifically to the Sermon on the Mount, because that's what we've been studying these past couple of weeks. The normal patterns of life we engage in eventually begin to fail us. They leave us disappointed and wanting. When that happens, or preferably before, we need to encounter a different way, a better way of living that will not leave us disillusioned, but will fulfill us. Throughout the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has been doing just that. He's been showing us a better way. Jesus's way is the blessed one. The culture we live in has its own idea of what the blessed life looks like. In fact, it has quite a few. Every commercial that plays on TV tells us we have to have a better car, a better house, a better phone company, a better insurance company, because that will bring a smile to our face and to our family members. It will end our complaints to get the new and best things. It leads us to what they say is the blessed life. Or maybe it's getting that dream vacation you've always wanted. Memories for a lifetime, they say, after you spend $42,000 with us. I'm not saying that these things are bad or wrong. Sooner or later, I'm going to have to get a new car because mine will break down. And quite frankly, I like driving more than I do walking 30 miles every day. That's just how I am. It's a little quicker. Go ahead and judge me if you want. I enjoy having a roof over my head, especially when it's rainy and cold or when it's snowy and cold. In Ohio, we're entering that season, we'll be able to experience that. I enjoy traveling to different places for vacation as well. But these things don't provide a blessed life. They're good for the moment, but they do not last. Christ began his sermon by telling us what a truly blessed life looks like. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. This blessedness is not based on something temporary like a car or vacation. It comes from God. When we look at these statements, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Who does the comforting? God does. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Who shows mercy? God does. Jesus' way is blessed because God himself blesses it. And there is no one greater, no thing greater, that we could receive a blessing from than from our Heavenly Father. Jesus' way is lived from the inside out. Let your light shine before men. An internal reality is being lived on the outside. He also challenges people to internalize what the authorities of that day were comfortable to let sit on the outside. When the authorities of those days said that it was good enough not to murder, Jesus looked closer and said, you know, hating someone has the same effect as murder. If you hate someone, you're not getting along with them. And moreover, it separates you from God. When the authorities said it was right to get retribution, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, Jesus challenged people to turn the other cheek. Because retaliation does not do anything except create a cycle to get sucked into. If I slap my brother on the arm, he's going to try and slap me. I'm going to try and slap him back, and he's going to try and slap me. Cycle of retribution. But when we are willing to take the pain, when we're willing to accept not giving something back we think people deserve, it leads to a better life. These types of internalization drive us to be better people. I'm a better man when I don't retaliate against other people. I'm a better man when I don't just not murder people, but when I don't hate people. I'm a better man when I don't make promises I can't keep, or I don't have any intentions of keeping. Culture's idea of a good life is to make our appearances healthy. Every Instagram photo, Twitter post, and TikTok phenomena has absolutely flawless content. But even if we can attain that, and more than likely we can't, most of those things are staged in a way that I don't think most of us could do, we will find that it does nothing to change us on the inside, and we will only be left feeling empty. Jesus' way chooses to live rightly because of a healthy relationship with God. When we talked about generosity, we talked about prayer, we talked about fasting, we discussed that these things are not designed to be a spectacle for other people to watch and give us kudos. They are meant to be done because we love God. And when we give in secret, when we pray in secret, and when we fast in secret, our Heavenly Father, who sees in secret, rewards us. Jesus' words also tell us that his way trusts God for security. When Christ told us not to lay up treasures on earth, that we cannot serve two masters, and we should not be anxious for anything, he tied it to the fact that we are valuable in God's sight, and he will care for us from his own providential care. Money might make us feel safe in the moment. When cars break down, it's nice to be able to have a savings and say, I can fix that, my car's going to go. Eventually, though, money runs out, our cars break down, our houses need repairs, and you can bring any number of other ideas into this. But there is one who has protection that is much stronger and much more reliable. There is one who is able to care for us beyond anyone or anything we can encounter in life. All of these things help us think about what Christ said when he said, "Listen to these words of mine." There are many competing voices today that say, "Listen to me." Culture, commercials, our family, our friends. But the way that does not leave us disappointed begins by listening to Christ. We will never regret listening to Christ. But Jesus says there's a caveat. It's not enough to simply agree with Christ about these things. This is the intellectual piece. Christ wants something deeper and more significant from us. And he illustrates this with the rest of the parable we looked at. He said, whoever listens to these words of mine. And in the first part, Jesus likens people to those who not only hear his words, but also do them. They hear, they accept, and they believe the words, and they also put them into practice. And he says, these people will be like a wise person who wants to build a house. If you want to build a house that's strong and steady, and you're smart about it, you have to look for the right foundation. it's not good to try and plan to put a house in the middle of the road. But when you find a good spot, you have to dig deep to find a solid layer of bedrock. When you do, you can set your foundation on that. This person in Jesus' parable did just that. He looked for a good place, dug deep, got onto the rock, and built his house. He put hours and hours of blood, sweat, and tears into it. And eventually, he finished the house. Very shortly after, the house was tested. A storm began brewing. Eventually, the rain came down in sheets. It wasn't your gentle rain like this morning. It was the rain that you couldn't see past 10 feet in front of you. And because of this heavy rain, rivers started flowing where they had been previously dry ground. If you've ever seen or lived around little creeks that can get overflown when there's a heavy rainstorm, you might be able to think about what this is like. There's a road very close to my house, the middle part of 252, just south of Royalton Road. When it rains heavily, you cannot pass there because it has a low valley and the floods just go right over it. I've seen trucks go through it. I sit there looking, I say, nah, turn around right in the middle of the road, go back the way I came and take another road because you cannot pass those floods. And not only was there rain and rivers starting to flow, the wind beat against the house. But the house was able to stand because it was built on a secure foundation. But, Jesus says, there's another group of people. There are people who will hear his words and they won't do anything about them. They'll agree and say, I think those are absolutely fantastic. I love them. It would be great for my spouse. It would be great for my neighbor. It would be great for my coworker. But they don't do anything with it themselves. And Jesus has a comparison for them as well. He says, people who hear my words and don't put them into practice are like people who are unwise in building. Instead of looking for a good place to put their house, they find a flat level surface and say, yep, we're going to put it right down there and it's going to be perfect. They start building their house right on top of the dirt. Yeah, if you're in construction, you know how all that goes. And if you're not in construction, you can see where this is going. They look and look to find a place that they like, set the house right on top of the dirt. They begin to build the house. They spend hours of blood, sweat, and tears to build it. And eventually, they finish it. And very similar to the other story, the rain begins to come down in sheets. Rivers start flowing where there previously was dry ground, and the winds begin to beat against the house, and the house begins to shift. And as it begins to shift, you can hear the creaking of the timber what was once thought to be safe and secure begins to crack, and the house falls because it did not have a stable foundation. The only difference between the wise and the foolish builders was the foundation they chose. One built it on the rock, and one built it on the sand. They experienced the same exact circumstances. If you do a word study, it's word for word, or almost word for word, exactly the same. They use a few synonyms, but they're synonyms. They experienced the same exact storms in life, but they had significantly different results. In a similar way, there's only one slight but significant difference, Jesus says, between those who hear the words of Christ and do them and hear the words of Christ and don't do them. But they have wildly different results. Jesus' way is meant to be lived out. Everything Jesus did was designed to be put into action. Listening to God's word is a vital step in the right direction. We need the humility to say our words and our culture's words fail. In contrast, the words of Christ are eternal. They remain trustworthy forever. That is the first step. But that is not the only step we need to take. The single difference in this text about why one person is similar to a wise builder and why one person is similar to an unwise builder is whether or not a person puts into action what they hear from Christ. It's not enough to simply hear the word of God and do nothing with it. Listening to a doctor talk about what you need to do to get better, especially if they prescribe a medication for you, is not enough. If they prescribe a medication, you have to take it when you're supposed to and as long as you're supposed to. Leaving the pill in the bottle doesn't do anything. If they say, hey, you should probably exercise a little bit more, well, may not be the first choice on the menu, but if you want to get better, you have to do it. We cannot just listen to a doctor's words. We have to put them into practice if we want to get better. In the same way, we have to make a habit of applying the words of Christ. It's a disastrous thing when we go through life under the assumption we're good with God because we show up on Sunday morning for church, listen to the sermon, and go our own merry ways for the rest of the week. And look, building on the surface of a sand is much less time-consuming than trying to dig down for a solid foundation, but it cannot sustain itself. The Leaning Tower of Pisa nearly fell over several times because of its unstable foundation. Similarly, it is much more difficult to put Jesus' words into practice than to hear them and not apply them. But that is what is required of us to enjoy the benefits of Jesus' way. And I want to be very clear about this because metaphors can sometimes get crossed. Christ is making a comparison between the wisdom of action and the folly of inaction, not giving us a lecture of how to be right with God. The foundation of our right standing with God is Christ. Jesus became the foundation of our faith, of our lives, by what he did. We do not earn our way to God by doing the words of Christ. Christ earned that way for us. Practicing the words of Christ stems from our personal relationship with him. If we do good things, quote unquote, but have no relationship with Christ, those works amount to nothing. And I would like to briefly read to you the previous paragraph to help clarify this. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will be able to enter the kingdom, but the one who does the will of my Father. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and prophesy and do many great works in your name? And I will then declare to them, I will then confess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. prophesying is akin to preaching. Prophets pretty much preached sermons. And is preaching a good thing? Absolutely. Is helping people sort out the messiness of their lives, casting out demons, a good thing? Yes. Is doing mighty works in the name of Christ a good thing? Definitely. They even did these things in the name of Christ. Three times that repeats. We did this in your name. We did this in your name. We did this in your name. But actions do not replace a relationship with Christ, no matter how good they are. So our foundation for our faith is in Christ. Our foundation for our lives is in Christ. But again, it is not enough. If we want to be followers of Christ, if we want to be wise builders, we have to put into practice what Christ says. Jesus' way challenges us to begin with hearing these words of mine, these words of Christ, and then to do them. And because we are only in the second week of the new year, now is the perfect time to begin a new habit with Christ. If you're tired of the way your life is, if nothing satisfies you, nothing fills the void in your life, the best first step is to listen to the words of Christ. Culture will offer you one suggestion after another that will leave you high and dry. Christ offers a way that is sound and secure once and for all. And the challenge Christ offers you, if you haven't yet, will you listen to the words of Christ for the first time? For those who have listened to the voice of Christ, the next challenge is to live out the words of Christ. That doesn't happen by accident. We have to be intentional about it. If there's one part of the Sermon on the Mount that sticks out to you that we've studied over the past couple of weeks, begin to practice it. If it's you want to look for the blessed life, put that into practice. If you want to practice doing the right thing because of your relationship with Christ, begin doing that. Find ways to pray. Find ways to be generous. And do it because you love God. Maybe we need to internalize and start living from the inside out. Maybe we need to begin not only treating people the way we think we should treat them, but treating people the way even we would want to be treated. And the best way that I've learned to do this, and I'm still learning, I'm putting this into practice myself. I'm not perfect at it. I want to do better this year than I did last year. But declare one thing. I want to treat people better this year than I treated them last year. I want to treat them the way I want to be treated this year. The second thing is look every day for ways to put that into practice. And then hold yourself accountable. What situations today did I encounter with people? Did I treat this person the way I would want to be treated? Yes, and here's what helped me do it. No, and here's what I need to do to fix that in the future. If we choose today to do one thing, if we choose to do it every day, and if we choose to reflect on it, we can become better doers of Christ's word this year than we were last year. We can become people who are like wise builders, who build things that are meant to last. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful, first and foremost, for the foundation of Christ. I pray that we would not take it for granted, and I pray that we would be diligent to seek Him for that. And I pray that as we seek Christ for the foundation of our faith, that we would be faithful to put into practice the words that Christ has for us. Pray that we'd be better men and women this year than we were last year. Pray that we would learn to treat people better this year than we did last year. And I pray that we would be closer followers of you. Help us, I pray. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.